Comcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome into ABQ Connect today. I think because of COVID-19, we ought to award mothers a multitasking award and treat them really well. We have one of those on the phone with us today, Jennifer Bryant, Nourish Nutrition Counseling. Jennifer, how are you?
Hi, Jim. Thanks for having me today.
I love this Skype thing because it sounds like you're sitting right here in the studio with us.
I'm so glad. It's really a good way to still keep connected, you know, without being in person. So, yeah. Well,
Jennifer, you're a registered dietitian. That yes, means you have a RDN after your name. I don't have any of those cool things after my name. she's also a certified diabetes educator, and she's working on a new book, which we've talked about a little bit, called The Nourished Road, 8 Weeks of Food and Faith to Fuel Your Health. And today on ABQ Connect, Jennifer's going to be giving us the scoop on the benefits of dairy in our diets and the cautions of having too much dairy. Jennifer will also cover probiotics, genetic testing, and anti-inflammation foods. Say that three times fast.
I know. That's a lot.
Hey, and I want everybody to know, we just launched our new Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/ABQ Connect to stay up to date with our guests, topics, and feedback from listeners. Like or follow us. That would really help us on facebook.com/ABQ Connect. We're going to start promoting these broadcasts. We're going to start giving links to all the resources. For example, Jennifer has a website. It is nourishednutritioncounseling.com, and we'll give you that to you three or four times during the program today. She has really cool recipes and a newsletter that you can sign up for that's really helpful. So, hey, Jennifer, let's get this thing going. Please tell us how you work with clients through Nourish Nutrition Counseling and just give us an overview of what you do.
Sure. I do a lot of different things, which is one of the reasons that I really enjoy my job. But one of the things that I love to do with clients is the genetic testing, and we'll talk a little bit about that in the future. I have a company that I work with called Nutrigenomics that will send a sample kit directly to your house, and you will put a little swab in your mouth and you will send it back to them. And in a couple of weeks, you'll have a really great report about how your genes affect what you eat. And so that's a really cool test. The other thing that I am just now starting to do, which I'm really excited about, is if you've already had a genetic test done with like Ancestry or 23andMe or one of those other large companies, you can request what is called the raw data from the company. And it's a lot of pages of numbers. And if you didn't know what to look for, of course, that information really wouldn't be of much use to you. But one of the services I'm going to start offering is taking that information and then providing my own nutrition interpretation for that. And so there's about 17 different genes that we have some pretty good scientific research on that I'm able to look at the genetic variation and then make a nutrition recommendation based on what that information is showing me. So that's pretty cool. So if any of our listeners are interested in that, you know, that would be definitely something to reach out and ask some more questions. And I do have some information about that on my website.
Okay. Give us your website again.
Yeah. So it's nourishednutritioncounseling.com. And there's a contact button on there, and that's probably the best way to get in touch with me. You can also email me at jennifer@nourishednutritioncounseling.com. And so I'm happy to answer any questions about that. But there is a little more information about that on my website too. But it's one of the things that I really love doing with clients because it really helps me personalize recommendations. Mm. So, yeah.
And Jennifer, when you start with a client, you meet with them over a period of months. Usually you do that virtually, which actually just dovetails right in with COVID-19. But you give them a lot of personal service, right?
Yeah, so most of my clients commit to 3 months. And of course, then that's my commitment to clients as well, right? I feel that it takes about 3 months to really make good lasting habit changes. And for some people, it takes a little bit longer than that. For others, you know, they're done at 3 months and I do what I call graduate them, you know, and they go off on their own and usually they do really well. But I really try to focus on, changing your lifestyle. So it's not a diet. It's not something that you're going to just do for a couple of weeks. And you know, so some people get, really excited about that because then they're able to see that lasting change. And then of course you see some really good results through that. People start feeling better. They have more energy. I had one lady that came to me a couple years ago and her doctor, you know, gave her a handout on doing a low FODMAP diet, mm-hmm. which is it's a typical diet to sort of help with some digestive issues or symptoms. And it was just this list of all these foods she couldn't eat, you know? And so you get something like that from the doctor and you think, how in the world am I going to apply this? And so she came to me with that list and she was also very underweight at the time because there was a lot of, like with her digestive issues, she was malabsorbing nutrients and all of this. And so her goal was to gain weight, but also to relieve her digestive symptoms. And after a year, she was just a completely different person. And she would, you know, we would get on the phone and, or the computer call and she would say, Jennifer, I just feel so much better. I can't believe that this worked. You know, it's sort of one of those things like, people wonder how much can what I'm eating really affect how I feel. Mm-hmm. And I could just tell you story after story of people who have just totally changed their life trajectory because they're now eating well and taking care of their bodies and they just feel so much better.
Well, that's a great story because I want to relay a story that I just had this morning. I talk with listeners very frequently. This morning I was talking with a very close friend of mine. Her and her husband, I've known them for close to, I think, 25 years. And I always ask, you know, how are you? How's your husband? And I'm not going to use anybody's names here, but I'm hoping they're listening because there's a real agenda that I have in this, Jennifer, and it's this. My friends have been married a long time. They love each other. She's always looking out for her husband, and I just ask her about her husband and she used these words. You know, my husband is just not telling doctors the truth. He's representing that he's working out more than he's working out. Now, he has a very physical job, so that is a little bit like working out. But mm-hmm. they eat out quite a bit. And just getting, you know, stuff that's low sodium and other kinds of, basically they have a history or he has a history of some heart problems. His dad died. He'll be as old as his father when he passed away here in, I think, 3 years. So that he gets checked out and he does all these things, but she's concerned that he needs to change his lifestyle, that he needs to start eating properly. Are men more difficult to work with, Jennifer, than women? I mean, do they not listen? I guess I'm asking for myself too.
Do they not listen? I would say in general, I would say no, that's not true. It really depends on why the person is resistant to making a change. And, you know, there's so many reasons that people are resistant to that. And I always joke that, you know, once I tell people what I do, our relationship is never the same because they always think, you know, oh, she's looking at what I'm eating or, oh, she's going to judge me or, oh, she's going to tell me what diet to go on or whatever. And, you know, I really don't do that. Any of my friends or family that are listening will tell you that I'm one to only offer advice when it is asked of me because I know that the motivation piece is one of the biggest pieces, you know, so I could go and tell your friend or her husband all the things that he needs to do. But if he's not motivated to make a change, then, you know, we're really not going to get anywhere. And so one of my jobs is to actually improve my clients' motivation. And I do that a lot by education and just, you know, really explaining to people why it's important for them to make a change and what difference that's going to have on their life. And then also during the process, just to keep them motivated. You know, most people, I would say, have some good motivation for maybe, you know, 3 to 4 weeks. A month is pretty typical. And then it kind of starts to decrease after that. And so one of my biggest jobs is to be a cheerleader and to encourage people and to just keep them going. And I actually really like that part of my job. It's really nice to see somebody push through some of those moments where they don't feel like they want to do it anymore.
See, I have a different theory about why this particular friend of mine is apprehensive with his doctor. It's because I don't personally feel comfortable about telling doctors things, mainly because in my experience, they are only going to spend 5 minutes with you sitting down anyway. They're always in a rush. They have this or that. And the reason I think that he would have a good experience working with you is because you're available and he can talk to you and you're going to come up with a plan. And then there's going to be a little accountability and you'll probably involve his wife as part of that accountability because, and that would actually be good because he wouldn't be resistant to that or anything else. So here I am hoping that she's listening to the show today and that these are some great ideas because I really think the Nourish Nutrition Counseling Program would really help. And I think it'll help a lot of our listeners. I think that a lot of us just need a good kickstart. We need a coach. And Jennifer, knowing what you do and the stories that you share, and I hope you're going to share a few more success stories with us today, but we're going to have to take a quick break and come back, and we'll talk a little bit more about some of those success stories. We're going to talk about a little bit more about genetic testing, about the use of dairy, inflammation, and probiotics for the rest of the show. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Gonstead Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury, pain in your back, neck, shoulders, arms, and legs, as well as numbness in your extremities. Dizziness and bladder or bowel issues can all be symptoms. 90% of doctors treating spinal ligament injuries don't know how to determine the severity and location of this condition. At Gonstead Physical Medicine, all of the providers are trained to do this. Schedule a consultation today at gonstead-nm.com or 505-884-8555.
God is love. God's love is intrinsic. It is as essential to God as light is to the sun, as blue is to the sky, as wet is to water. You don't make water wet, it is wet. In all of these cases, the attribute is intrinsic to the object. Take great joy in your God. He loves you. Hey, this is Pastor Scott Thom of Cross Christian Fellowship. Connect with us at crossfellowship.org.
The weight of anxiety. This is Roger Patterson with a minute of vision for life. Professional sports is a huge global industry. Soccer is growing rapidly, and my children know the names of athletes on other continents because of the video games that they play and because of the exposure of the internet. I've known many a professional athlete and pastored a few of them as well. What the public doesn't see is the weight of their performance and the uncertainty of where they will live and play in the coming season. The public doesn't see the truth that owners and management of these teams view these men and women as liabilities and assets in their business model. This can create anxiety and strain on marriages, uncertainty for their children, and a weight in the heart that people don't understand. Proverbs 12:25 states, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. When you see someone weighed down with the weight of life, bless them and appreciate them with your words. Take just a moment to make them glad, as it will be a true blessing to them.
You've been listening to Dr. Roger Patterson with A Minute of Vision, a ministry of Vision for Life Radio at visionforlife.org.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome back to ABQ Connect. Jennifer Bryant, Nourish Nutrition Counseling, on the phone with us, actually on Skype with us today. And Jennifer, one of these days we're going to get to have you back in the studio, but I'm very thankful you're able to join us this way.
Yes, me too.
Hey, let's go back one more. I want to actually ask you about genetic testing and how that helps you evaluate how people will react to food.
Yeah, this is such I'm such a nerd in this area because I just love learning about it. And I think there's so much great research going on right now in this area that, you know, we know a reasonable amount at this point about how to, you know, encourage people to eat differently based on some of the information that we're seeing in these tests. But I think in 5 or 10 years, I think we're going to have so much more available. So I really think this is just the start of it. But, you know, one of the big areas that I feel very helped by this genetic testing with clients is when we're looking at some of the genes that are related to metabolism and how our bodies actually use the calories from the foods that we're eating, and if that's at a normal pace or if that needs to be modified a little bit. And, you know, there's a couple of really specific genes that even can tell us, you know, for example, some of these, we talked about fad diets a couple months ago in one of our programs, and, you know, which of these, you know, quote unquote fad diets are actually good and what are some of the pros and cons. And some of our genes can actually tell us if our bodies would do better with a high protein diet, for example, or if our bodies would really benefit from maybe doing a little bit higher carbohydrate diet. And so, you know, some of this we can actually know from just our own experience, right? And so I think you said, Jim, before that you, when you eat a higher carbohydrate diet, you just don't feel very good.
Right.
And, you know that you have a little bit of a sensitivity to gluten, and so you stay away from that. And our genes can really give us a definitive answer on that. And so that's a really cool thing to see. So, for example, one of our most researched genes is called the FTO gene. And so people can probably, you know, do a little searching on that on their own and find some good information about that. But the FTO gene, we know, plays a really big role in metabolism and how our body balances energy and also how we regulate appetite. And there's one variant of this gene that has a higher risk of being overweight or being obese. And then we know that these same people, they have a slower response to weight loss. And so that's not necessarily to be a discouraging piece of information, but it's more to say, you know, I hear this experience a lot from people. They'll go into their doctor and they'll say, you know, I've really been trying to eat better. I'm doing everything I should. I'm exercising. And they're honestly and, you know, truthfully telling all things to their doctor. And they're frustrated because they're not losing as much weight. And their doctor doesn't believe them because, you know, they're not losing very much weight. And they're saying that they're doing, you know, they're doing everything well. And so this gene variant really might explain some of that. And so I think that it's one of those things where if we just understand our bodies a little bit better, we can use that information to, instead of that weigh-in at the doctor's office being discouraging, you know, we can say, wow, that's some progress, you know, and keep going, because when you continue to do that, you're going to continue seeing results. So I think that having that information can be really empowering for somebody. And so instead of getting discouraged and, you know, giving up, there's still that the motivation stays and they still want to continue making some of those changes. And so this is the gene where these people that do have a little bit of resistance to weight loss, these people often do better with a high protein diet. And this is where it gets a little tricky. We encourage high protein diets, but this genotype also does better with low saturated fats. So that means that we need to be getting our protein from lower or leaner sources of meats, or potentially putting in some plant-based proteins or some, you know, some fatty fish that are really high in those unsaturated fats. So that's a really good, you know, when somebody sees that, that is very motivating for them to actually make that change, you know, instead of having a hamburger, maybe having a salmon burger or, you know, something like that, a change like that.
Well, I just had somebody tell me that they've been eating turkey burgers and that they feel a lot better, and that they've really improved the way they spice the meat, and it's a lot more healthy than necessarily the red beef. Now, I'm not saying that because I'm going away from hamburgers. I love to eat a hamburger, but I do try to eat, you know, a good quality hamburger, and, you know, that's just something that I enjoy. But I know other people that absolutely cannot eat red meat. Jennifer, as you were talking, I'm thinking about age groups here, okay? So a lot of our audience may be, let's say, over 45, 50 years old. They may have tried various diets. They've been through the gamut. They're hearing you speak today. And what I hear is that the way you handle clients and maybe going through a genetic test may help them actually discover what has been causing these problems, and they're eating disorders and problems with digestion and so forth that they've been dealing with most of their lives.
Yes, exactly. And I think what you just said is so true. People come to me and they say, you know, Jennifer, I am a professional dieter. Like, I have done every single diet on the planet. And, you know, I had somebody once tell me that they lost 1,000 pounds, and they meant, you know, over time, time and time again, 20 times they've lost 50 pounds, you know, and then they regain it, and then they lose it again, and then they regain it. And that's there's really a lot of research going on in that area too. And we're seeing that, in fact, that sort of yo-yo type dieting and the weight loss and then the regain and all of this, that is actually more damaging to our metabolic health than simply being overweight. Yeah. So I think that's really important for people to know too. If you are going to go after this and you are going to make some changes, these need to be changes that stick. And I know that's hard, and I know that that's scary. And I think that's why I have a job, right? Because if people just were able to, you know, do what they know how to do, then it wouldn't be hard, you know, and we could just make the decision to make a change and do it. But there's so many other factors that come into it that I think it really takes more of a holistic and more of a like whole person approach to this whole issue of nutrition.
In the final minute of this segment, I want to bring up that at nourishnutritioncounseling.com, and you click on useful tools, you have a whole bunch of absolutely delicious recipes available for people for free. And you click on the picture, and you can even print up the recipe, throw it in your notebook. And I have tried those on a number of my children. I have 5 kids. They've really enjoyed them. They're very healthy. They're delicious. And here's the main point I wanted to make. In working with you, Jennifer, I've noticed that the foods and things that you recommend are actually not more expensive than what people are already eating.
Right. That is very correct. And, you know, I'm a very practical person, and I'm not going to put ingredients in my house or in my recipes that, you know, either cost a lot or are hard to find, or that I have to go to a special store for. You know, I'm a working mom of 2, you know, grade school age kids. And so I don't have all the time in the world to be doing grocery shopping and doing all this cooking and all of these things. So yes, I'm a very practical person, and that's really the approach that I like to take.
Well, we're going to have you on to the top of the hour. And when we come back, we're going to start talking about the positives of using dairy and maybe some of the drawbacks. So stay with us. Jennifer Bryant here with us on ABQ Connect.
Hi, this is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive. You have heard a word a lot here of late, and that word is essential. Here at Southern Boulevard Automotive, our master certified technicians understand that your car, truck, or SUV is essential to getting you from point A to point B. We are open for business. Our hours are 7 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. And don't forget that we have free towing with repairs. Just call for details. Our phone number is 892-2300. That's 892-2300. We are located on the corner of Southern and Western Hills, across from McDonald's in Rio Rancho. And I'm here to tell you that the most essential thing in this life is the cross of Jesus. There is absolutely nothing more important to you and I. God saw you as essential and gave his only begotten Son that you would believe in him and have eternal life. Never minimize the cross. It's the centerpiece of the gospel. And never forget the hope you and I have in the empty tomb. I'm John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive.
Hi, this is a Money Wise Minute with teacher Rob West.
You'll make thousands of financial decisions in your life, from where to buy a cup of coffee to which car you drive. But three financial decisions are the biggest of all. First is buying a home. Don't overbuy. Determine what you can really afford in a mortgage payment. The lender's pre-approved amount is almost always too much. Second is how much education you'll get. Studies consistently show that, on average, college grads make more than people without that degree. But it's critical to choose a major that gives you marketable skills and to avoid student loans. Finally, there's whether to get married. Married couples, again, on average, are far wealthier than singles. Don't make these decisions lightly. Always seek God's counsel and wisdom. He'll show you the way.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Nurse, nutrition, counseling owner, Jennifer Bryant. You're also the counselor, right, Jennifer?
I am. Yes, I started this business, I guess it's been about 2.5 years ago. And I really just wanted to keep it to myself right now. I really like having a relationship with my clients. And that's one thing that I really pride myself in, and I want to keep it that way, at least for now. So yes, I am also the counselor.
All right. And two things I really think are important for people to know about. Number one, people graduate from your counseling, and that's an important thing. Most counseling perpetuates more counseling, but that's not what you do.
Yes, I actually, I always joke with my clients that we should have like a graduation cake or something. it's a bittersweet day, with that last appointment. But really, I mean, my goal is to really educate and empower people to do this on their own. I don't want them to be clients forever. I want them to learn, and I want them to do, and hopefully I want them to motivate others to be the same. It's kind of like, when you're preaching the gospel or you're sharing the gospel with somebody, is, you want to tell people about it, and then you want them to grow in their faith so that they tell other people about it, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of the same thing. I don't want them under my wing, forever. I love when they are confident and able to go out and do it on their own.
Jennifer, you are obviously using a metaphor of the gospel, but you also have a biblically based business. Tell us about what your approach is with people from a biblical perspective.
Yeah, I do. I think our faith plays into every possible part of our lives, right? And so I think that we are naive to say that our faith does not affect our nutrition. I think that there's a big overlap there, and I think often we miss it. And this is something that the church doesn't really talk about either. We're talking about treating our bodies well for the glory of God. Colossians 3:17 says, "Do everything for the glory of God, giving thanks to Him." And I think that "do everything" includes how we eat. And so I think it's really important for people to ask themselves, when I eat a meal, first of all, am I thanking God that I have food on my table, that I do not have to worry about my next meal? Am I truly being thankful for that? And also, am I thankful for how this food actually nourishes my body? Mm. And that was one of the big questions that I had to wrestle with a lot in my teen years and in my college years. And, the answer was no, I was not. Food was the enemy at that point in my life. And I think that's true for so many people today. You don't think of food as being something nourishing to your body. You think of it as evil, or, it makes you gain weight, or whatever the issue is, or it makes you feel bad, or whatever. And we know that God gave us food to be pleasurable. Yes, we enjoy the taste of food. We like to eat. Right. But the point of it is to actually nourish our bodies and to keep them going, to do good things in this world. Right. And so that's really the undertone of my whole business. And I think if we can keep that kind of a focus, I really see people able to make changes that last longer when you sort of have this eternal perspective, right? Yeah.
Well, I want to get to dairy, but what you just said stimulated another question, and that is, do you think there are listeners who consider food the enemy? It's like they know they need to eat something to sustain life. I guess I'm kind of referring to eating disorders and things that develop. Are you able to help people as they are fighting over that? I don't know if it's a perspective, if it's a mental thing. I don't know. I don't know what that is, but are you able to help people that have those type of concerns?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of, facets of that. And I think the whole concept of healing a relationship with food is so important. That's one of the things we work on. We work on eating normally and eating, like I said before, to nourish our bodies, which is a very different mindset approach to, the world around us. The world around us is more focused on how we look, and, the whole weight loss thing has become such a huge problem because we're dieting more than ever now, and we're still, we're more overweight than ever also. And so it's sort of like this paradox. So we know that dieting doesn't work. And so it's like, why do we keep doing this to ourselves? So what I really encourage clients to do is really change your perspective. And so instead of focusing on the weight loss as the goal, we're changing our whole perspective. We're looking at now our motivation is different. Our motivation is so that we can do all of the things on this earth that the Lord calls us to do, right? Which, is loving our families and our neighbors and, spending time with people and working in a way that pleases Him. And then also we're looking at food as our means to be able to do that. And so looking at how does our body work best? What kinds of food should we be eating? And so that's really the whole basis behind it. It's not a diet. It's not about restricting what we eat. It's not about, like you were talking about your friend earlier, it's not about, not telling our doctor what's going on because we're embarrassed or we're ashamed. It's letting go of all of those cultural, concepts and norms, and we're really reframing how we think about it. So I use the word, transforming our minds. We're constantly doing that so that we're looking at our health from a biblical perspective rather than from a worldly or a perspective of vanity.
I love it. Let's talk a little bit now about some specifics with food. I want to talk about dairy. You sent me this little list of topics, and we're going to talk about dairy. I first better be concerned because what I think of dairy is different than what you think. I think about ice cream, first of all, and sour cream, and I eat both of those way too much. So already my perspective is slanted.
Well, so I'll tell you what got my mind on this topic. Okay, so first of all, anyone listening who knows me knows that I really love cheese. Okay. Mm-hmm. So like I literally, if it had, all the nutrients in the world, like I could probably live on just cheese. I just love it. So I am actually, this is something new for me. I just started the Cheese of the Month Club, which I think is just so fun. And I'm so excited. I got this delicious, cow's milk feta cheese this month, and it is so, so good. I've been putting it on all my salads and things, and it's just delicious. But there's a lot of controversy about dairy. And so I was thinking this might be kind of a fun topic to talk about a little bit. And, with everyone listening, I hope that they know that I'm not trying to project a bias in any way. I always, with my clients, I always look at the risks and benefits of different foods and to determine what would be an appropriate diet. And so for some people, dairy may not be appropriate for a time. It is known to cause inflammation. Mm-hmm. And so, for people listening, if they have an inflammatory disease of some sort, then this is something that they might want to at least cut out for a time. But really dairy has some really great benefits. It has, we know it for calcium, right? And vitamin D. It also has some really good protein And it's really good for potassium as well, which is one of our up-and-coming nutrients. We know that potassium is really helpful with blood pressure and heart disease and diabetes and all of those things. So dairy products are actually really good for us. I think in general, we tend to probably eat a little bit more than we should, though. And you mentioned like the ice cream and the sour cream, and those can have a place, right? But there are definitely other dairy sources that are much healthier than those.
So if I go from 4 scoops to 2, is that going to be okay?
Absolutely. And this is, Jim, you hit the nail on the head, right? It's all about improving. So I'm having a new client next week, and she was so excited because she says, are you going to tell me that I can't have wine anymore? And I said, no, like I'm never going to tell you something that you would not want to do. Okay. Because if I tell you and you're mad at me about that, then that, you know, that ruins our relationship. Right. So the goal is to work with what you're comfortable doing. And so if you say, I don't want to cut out ice cream, but I'm very comfortable going from 4 scoops to 2, then absolutely that's an improvement. And that's what we want to be focusing on, is improving.
Well, and I've said this before and people will laugh, but I'm actually serious about it. I am a chip-aholic. If you put a bag of Lay's potato chips or Doritos or really any kind of corn chips, I used to love to go to Garduño's and they give you these baskets of homemade tortilla chips, and their salsa just spectacularly delicious. But by the time I'm done, I've eaten 4 baskets full, and it's just embarrassing. I have to stay away from chips.
Right. Yep. And I think, you know, for some people, I think we could all probably identify a handful of foods that, you know, I would call them maybe trigger foods, where they trigger you to eat more than you should, or you feel like maybe you can't stop once you start. You know, I have a couple of those foods, but peanut M&Ms are one of mine. So,
yeah, a couple handfuls of those turns into a bag very quickly.
Yep.
Yeah. Well,
yep.
Jennifer, let's talk a little bit now. We've kind of talked about the pros and cons of dairy. I guess I do need to ask you a couple questions. There are people that have a lot of allergies. There seems to be to dairy. There seems to be all kinds of new products like almond milk. Mm-hmm. That doesn't have any dairy in it, right? It's just made out of almonds?
Yeah, correct. So almond, soy, coconut, those are all milks that have no dairy, no lactose. So if that's an issue for you, I think it's really a common misconception as well that if you have lactose intolerance, you can't eat any dairy. And that's really not true. Actually, cheese has no lactose. And a lot of times people that have lactose intolerance can even tolerate yogurt because the bacteria actually helps to digest that lactose for them. So really, if you have lactose intolerance, it's not that dairy is necessarily a no-no. You may have to be careful with the actual milk and the ice cream. Those would, and maybe like a cottage cheese or something. But most dairy is actually well tolerated by people that have lactose intolerance. I have an article actually about lactose intolerance on my website. So if people wanted to read a little bit more about that. And then, you know, to your question about the milk alternatives, you know, in my honest opinion, unless there's a true reason, if there's an allergy, a milk allergy or like the lactose intolerance, the milk alternatives are really not better. They're usually full of a lot of fillers and emulsifiers. You know, there's a statement that there's like 8 almonds in a quart of almond milk. So
wow.
There's really not a lot of nutrition in there. And if you look at your nutrition facts panel, you'll see that you're getting maybe 1 to 2 grams of protein with a glass of almond milk or coconut milk, whereas you're getting 8 with a glass of cow's milk. So really there's a lot more nutrition in terms of cow's milk. And so, generally speaking, unless, like I said, there's a medical reason or an allergy or an intolerance, I wouldn't necessarily recommend using a milk alternative.
Well, you mentioned yogurt. Obviously, a lot of us eat yogurt because we want the probiotic. We want the bacteria in our gut. So when we get back after this break, we're going to talk about probiotics. Stay with us. Jennifer Bryant on ABQ Connect.
Stay-at-home orders, layoffs, and financial hardship has many families experiencing food insecurity for the first time. By uniting, we can mobilize more resources than we could individually. For years, churches like Citizen, Sagebrush, and Calvary have helped anchor the Albuquerque community of faith. And on Saturday, June 20th from 9 to 5 at Cliffs Amusement Park, they're coming together with Convoy of Hope for the Community Drive-Thru Family Relief. This event provides 2,000 families with a week of non-perishable food, dairy products, and fresh produce. It's a drive-thru event and families will stay in their cars. Volunteers will load food for the families. Traffic will line up westbound on Osuna and continue towards the northbound frontage road. An area is reserved for walk-ins to receive food as well. Convoy of Hope, Community Drive-Thru Family Relief, Saturday, June 20th from 9 to 5 at Cliffs Amusement Park parking lot. Details at calvarynm.church/events.
Someone has said that a true friend is one who laughs at your stories when they're not so good and sympathizes with your troubles even when they're not so bad. And there's one other thing a good friend does. According to the book of Proverbs, a true friend sticks closer than a brother. Your brother may live for you, but your friend will die for you. Jesus called his disciples his friends, and he said that the greatest love a person can have is to lay down his life for his friends. And that is exactly what Jesus did. By his death, Jesus invites you to be his friend. This is David Jeremiah encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's friendship on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com and get your roadmap for life. That's Route66Life.com. Route 66, start your journey home today.
The weight of anxiety. This is Roger Patterson with a minute of vision for life. Professional sports is a huge global industry. Soccer is growing rapidly, and my children know the names of athletes on other continents because of the video games that they play and because of the exposure of the internet. I've known many a professional athlete and pastored a few of them as well. What the public doesn't see is the weight of their performance and the uncertainty of where they will live and play in the coming season. The public doesn't see the truth that owners and management of these teams view these men and women as liabilities and assets in their business model. This can create anxiety and strain on marriages, uncertainty for their children, and a weight in the heart that people don't understand. Proverbs 12:25 states, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. When you see someone weighed down with the weight of life, bless them and appreciate them with your words. Take just a moment to make them glad, as it will be a true blessing to them.
You've been listening to Dr. Roger Patterson with A Minute of Vision, a ministry of Vision for Life Radio at visionforlife.org.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Thank you for listening to ABQ Connect. We just launched our new Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/ABQ Connect to stay up to date with our guests, topics, and feedback from our listeners. By the way, if you end up with questions that you want to ask Jennifer Bryant, we are going to start having guests in the studio, I hope, more frequently, and we'll be opening up the phone lines at that time. But in the meantime, you can submit questions through our Facebook page. You can send them to me on my email, which is jim@abqconnect.online. Again, our Facebook page is facebook.com/abqconnect. And Jennifer Bryant, Nourish Nutrition Counseling, will have links to her website and all these great resources. Jennifer, you mentioned an article that you had written, and then I've also mentioned your recipes, and these resources are really free on your website, aren't they?
Yes, yes, definitely. I started the website actually a couple years ago when I started my business, but the whole point of it was really to provide my clients with resources, with recipes and with helpful articles and all of those kinds of resources. So, they're available to everybody.
They're a lot of fun. I'm always skeptical when I start seeing a movement of some kind of supplement, like a probiotic supplement or a protein powder that's supposed to change your life and help you lose 80 pounds in 2 days. You know, whatever the claims are, they're always so, unrealistic, in my opinion. So
yes.
Tell us about probiotics and what we should be thinking about. I guess there's some new research that you've just uncovered about this topic.
well, I don't know if uncovered is the word, but there was a new research study. Yeah. No, it wasn't a research study. It was actually a statement put out by one of the, you know, pretty prestigious gastroenterology associations. And basically what they were saying is, you know, that supplementing with probiotics might actually be doing a little more harm than it does good. And so they're pulling back recommendations for those probiotics to treat digestive disorders like irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's disease, celiac disease, all of those disorders that affect our digestive system. And so basically they're saying, you know, these supplements, we're spending all this money. And if any of the listeners are, you know, listening that take probiotics, you know, they're one of the most expensive supplements out there right now. And, you know, there's so many questions to, are they even doing any good? And I've had multiple clients say that, you know, after taking them for a time, they actually start to have a little more stomach pain and more gas than they even were before. And so there's really such a balance there. Now, there is a place for them, and I do recommend probiotic supplements to some people, depending on the issues. But it's one of those things where they kind of got, you know, everybody started taking them all of a sudden, and we're really not sure how good they are for us. And what they're finding is that really changing the way that we eat, so including more, you know, high-fiber foods like fruits and vegetables and whole grains, that's really what determines our gut bacteria much more than some, you know, supplement that we take once a day. So I think, you know, that's really the place that I want to get to with people is, well, let's look at how you're actually eating and let's change our probiotics in our gut that way. And then another great way to do that is to be frequently eating some of those foods that actually contain live bacteria or probiotics, which is like yogurt, like we were talking about at the end of the last segment. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I've seen some other things that kind of look like milk. I can't remember the name of it. It's a has probiotic properties. You see it
probably
in the dairy.
Probably kefir.
Yeah, kefir. Kefir. And I just have to say that stuff does not taste very good.
That's, you know, and that's the hard thing about these live probiotics is that they are sour, right? So, I mean, yogurt is sour. We try to lessen that sourness with sugar, you know, and so we think that we're eating something good for us, but we're eating a lot of sugar with it. And it's hard to develop that taste for something so sour. So, you know, and I do have clients that are, you know, have an aversion to some of those probiotic foods, and that's okay. You know, it's not necessary to be eating them, but I do try to include yogurt fairly often in my diet. One thing that I'll say about probiotics is that the quantity is much less important than the consistency. So, you know, if you're having a hard time with it, even just a couple bites a day is actually really helpful. So it doesn't have to be, you know, like a whole container of yogurt or something. But you know, keep it small, but then maybe do a little bit every day. And that seems to be the most helpful. The other thing I'll say about that, and you mentioned this, Jim, is with the kefir. It just doesn't taste very good unless you get the sweetened version. So, but I would really encourage people to check the food labels on that because there can be a lot of added sugar in those products. So looking for one with lower sugar or choosing a plain version and then adding your own, you know, honey or fruit or something else to sweeten it, that's a much better option than buying some of the sweetened yogurts.
Yeah, Jennifer.
I was in this.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, I was in the store the other day and I saw, you know, they market these yogurts to kids, of course. They all have characters and things on them. And, you know, one of the yogurts had almost 30 grams of sugar in it, which is more than what you should be having in the entire day. And there was hardly any protein, and it was more like a dessert than it was a yogurt, you know? And so I think, yeah, reading the labels is really, really important. We need to be a little bit careful with the sugars and some of those things.
Remind us about white sugar. That's just not good for us at all, is it?
Well, you know, I think in general, all of the sweeteners, we Americans, we just love our sugar. We love our sweeteners. We love everything about sugar. This is actually, I have had a lot of questions about this lately. So I decided I'm going to actually teach a class on this at the Y. It's not going to be till September, but, that's something if people are looking for information and resources, those classes are great and they're really inexpensive. I think they're $10 to register. But they, you know, talking about Facebook, they can follow the YMCA of Central New Mexico to get information on that as well. But the sugars, there's so much conflicting information. Generally speaking, we're eating too much sugar, period. Mm-hmm. There's really not one type of sugar that's better than the other. I did some research on this a couple years ago and really found that probably raw honey and pure maple syrup are probably the two best sweeteners in terms of health. But obviously they still have these natural sugars in them. And so we really want to be, you know, careful with our portions, how much we're eating, you know, that kind of thing. We don't want to overdo it. And sugar's addictive. So, you know, the more we eat, the more we want. And so we have to be a little bit intentional about cutting down on the amounts that we're eating, or we're going to just end up eating more and more and more.
Jennifer, we have to take one more break, but when we come back, I want to talk to you about foods that have some anti-inflammation properties. So stay with us on ABQ Connect. Jennifer and Jim will be right back.
How does KNKT mean business? KNKT is in the business of sharing the gospel. KNKT is also supported by local businesses who we, in turn, encourage you to support with your patronage. Here's Steve Ryman visiting one such business.
We recently had a chance to catch up with Buck Buckner, the owner of Rain Tunnel Car Spa. Here's what he had to say about doing business locally.
Hey, Budge. Car Spa and other local businesses are joining forces to launch a campaign called Local First. It's a call to action to spend our hard-earned money with locally owned businesses. Why local? For every dollar spent at local businesses, the economic impact on our local economy is 3 to 4 times that of the same dollar spent at a non-local entity. With them, profits beyond minor repairs are exported. Local businesses reinvest in the community again and again. Local businesses are completely dependent on community support and thus have a much deeper tie to the neighborhood. Local businesses are as competitive as non-locals. They hire local, promote local, and operate with far less employee turnover. National tenants are not a critical piece of our local economy and arrive only years after local business success. Where are those nationals? Sports Authority, Marcello's, Borders, Raley's, Copeland's, Zia's. Poof. Gone. Legislators, along with American Express, suggest we take one day to buy local. Nice thought. Don't they know our local businesses operate 365 days per year? So think, act, and do local first. Shop local, dine local, wash local, bank local, construct local, search engine local. Follow local media. And finally, to increase the coffers for an even greater Albuquerque, keep it local.
To hear your business featured on KNKT, email advertise@knkt.com.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Jennifer Bryant, Nourish Nutrition Counseling on ABQ Connect today. Thanks for staying with us. This will be our final segment, and we got a lot to talk about here. Jennifer, what kind of diseases come from inflammation in the body?
Yeah, that's a great question. So before we talk a little bit more about inflammation, what I'd really like to do is encourage people who have diseases that involve inflammation to sign up for my newsletter this month, because we're doing a special segment on inflammatory disease and how to change your diet because of it. And it's going to be for the whole month of June. So it's a really great challenge to be a part of if that's you. So inflammatory diseases they're becoming more and more common. I think the most common one that we know of is the rheumatoid arthritis, right? It involves inflammation of the joints and it can become very painful. A lot of people have that. A lot of people use medication to you know, mitigate the symptoms. And that's definitely a good tool. I'm not advising against medication necessarily. But what a lot of people don't know is that changing your diet can really make a difference in your symptoms. And so arthritis is one. Allergies are actually an inflammation disorder. So even seasonal allergies, food allergies, a lot of these can be lessened, not necessarily cured, but lessened by changing a little bit in your diet. And then we have some chronic inflammation issues where you don't necessarily have a disease attached to it, but potentially you just are experiencing some overall, you know, body aches and pains, maybe fatigue or insomnia. If you're having trouble sleeping, you might have some inflammation going on. There's also some evidence showing that inflammation can actually cause depression, anxiety, mood disorders. And then, of course, we have some of those intestinal complications like constipation, diarrhea, even reflux can be caused by inflammation. So all of these things can be relieved at least some by changing our diets a little bit. And so that was part of why I wanted to do this series on anti-inflammatory diets in June, is because I really have seen more and more people that are just having some of these symptoms and they're not really sure what's causing it. Nobody can diagnose it. And they're just wondering if there's any way they can eat differently to feel better. And the answer is absolutely yes. So, you know, there's a lot of things to this, of course, but I can just mention a few highlights. One of the biggest things is to really cut down on the processed foods. So we're talking about limiting the amounts of, you know, bacon and sausage and ham and lunch meats and hot dogs. And I know that's really hard this time of year because everyone loves a good hot dog. but this might be the place where it's actually worth, you know, spending a little bit more money on some of these not as processed foods, especially with the meats. I think a lot of times the fresher meats do cost a little bit more. And this would be one area where I would say this is worth it. Go for it. You know, choose the bacon with no nitrates. And then the other area that we need to cut down on a little bit with the processed foods is the processed carbohydrates. Mm-hmm. So chips and crackers and cookies and other baked goods and all of those, you know, snacky things. And, you know, I run into this problem with kids and, you know, we'll just buy the snack packs of chips or crackers or whatever. And that's what goes in the kids' lunch at school. And, you know, it's not good for them either. So trying to come up with alternatives that are less processed, you know, focusing on the vegetables, focusing on the whole grains, Those are really where you want to shift your focus. So eating less processed foods is a really big one. And then also just choosing more fruits and vegetables. And this is, I feel like a broken record because I say this all the time, but studies show that the more fruits and vegetables people eat, the lower their inflammation, the lower their risk of all chronic diseases. And we're talking heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, you know, liver disease, everything, all of those risks are lower with increased fruits and vegetables. So that's really a big goal that that's always my goal every day, is to try to get at least 5 cups of vegetables. And then I try to take it a step further, although I don't always make it. But that's the whole point of a goal, right? Is it's something to be working towards. But I always try to be eating the rainbow every day too, because we know that those different colors of fruits and vegetables can be really beneficial with our overall health as well.
Jennifer, we know young people ought to be adhering to all of your advice now, but have you seen older people in less than a minute? Can you tell us if an older person can kind of start to reverse the effects of maybe some arthritis and things that they may have developed?
Yes. So I actually have a client right now. This is why she came to me. She has rheumatoid arthritis. And one day I've been working with her son and they were talking about some of the things that we've been doing. And she said, I wonder if, you know, my arthritis could be helped by this. And so we've been working together for about a month now, maybe a little bit longer, but She has told me her pain levels have decreased every single day since we started working together. Her sleep has improved. She has more energy. And she, you know, she still doesn't eat perfect by any means, but she's made some significant changes that really affect her health. And so that's been really positive.
Jennifer Bryant, NourishNutritionCounseling.com. Thank you so much. And we'll see you in about 3 or 4 weeks.
ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.